Two kinds of concerns. The 2 Corinthians, chapter 7, verses 8 to 11. Let us turn to the book of the 2 Corinthians, chapter 7, verses 8 to 11. Even if I caused you sorrow by my letter, I do not regret it. Though I did regret it, I see that my letter hurt you, but only for a little while. Yet now I am happy, not because you were made sorry, but because your sorrow led you to repentance. For you became sorrowful as God intended, and so were not harmed in any way by us. Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret, but worldly sorrow brings death. See what this godly sorrow has produced in you: what earnestness, what eagerness to clear yourselves, what indignation, what alarm, what longing, what concern, what readiness to see justice done. At every point you have proved yourselves to be innocent in this matter. Everyone wants a world that does not have any concern. So the modern civilization wishes to solve the concerns and waits that the utopia would come, by making an effort continuously and researches. But, as the civilization gets developed, concerns and worries get piled up. It seems if there are a lot of possessions, there would be no concern, but it is not like that. If there was no car, there was no need to worry about the traffic accident. When the mobile phones did not exist, I think it was rather more comfortable. Nowadays, we are so attached to mobile phones. Due to fast communications, I think the life actually became a bit more tiring. These days, I heard the dogs also hang the mobile phones on their necks. Before the electrical lights were introduced, there was no crime of wandering around at night, and there was no night culture as such. Nowadays, whether it is day or night, we cannot differentiate our lives. Families get destroyed, souls get destroyed, and bodies get sick. If you go to a countryside, I heard that because of the street lights, the grains do not get to sleep deep, so the fruit does not become ripe. It is a scary destruction of the order in our natural environment. In the old days, we did not know what the stress was about. Nowadays, we get stressed the most. We get to enjoy the benefit of the civilization, but there are so many diseases that we do not know about. Until the Lord comes and until we get to set up the new sky and the new land, this is a world that does not have any day that does not have concerns. But, in the Bible, it introduces that there are not only concerns that do not have any benefits, but there are concerns that are beneficial. Actually, the concerns that arose from trying to do things according to the will of God, become hope and allow us to repent. It has been said that these concerns are holy concerns that allow us to live a proper life which was chaotic previously. Verse 10 says, "Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret, but worldly sorrow brings death." Concerns mean pain and sorrow. Even if it is a same kind of concern, from which direction and with what kind of heart that we have concerns in us, according to these, it can lead to death or it can lead to life. Even if we live in faith, if we do not fix our eyes on God, having bodily, worldly concerns is not beneficial. The more we are concerned, these become a heavy burden, pain and sorrow. So, it has been said in John, chapter 14, verse 1 like this: "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me." When it comes to the worldly concerns, the more we have these cause in us more pain and sorrow. But, the concerns that we have in order for us to live according to the will of God, it has been said that it allows us to reach to the life that does not have anything to regret about. What kind of concerns are you tied up with, in your life? Are these worldly concerns? Or are these concerns the ones for living the life according to the will of God? We need to get rid of the worldly concerns. Let us look at verse 10. It says, "Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret, but worldly sorrow brings death." It has been said that the worldly sorrow brings death. Where does this sorrow came from? This is sorrow that comes from concerns, worries, anxiety, fear and hopelessness. Even if we live a Christian life, if concerns and anxiety control our hearts, life gets shaken. What is a concern? It has a meaning, sharing hearts. If concerns and anxiety get into us, these divide our hearts and split up. If we get to have concerns, worries, then peace, joy and rest get slipped from our hearts. So the Lord said, "Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life?" A great English writer, Shakespeare, said, "Concern and anxiety are an enemy of life. The worldly concern harms our health, but also it is a deadly poison that destroys the entire life." At Rush University Medical Center in Chicago, they investigated on the reaction to concerns and stress for the elderly aged over 65. I saw the result of this. They investigated on who had Alzheimer's disease and found out that the more concerned and more sensitive people are to the stress, they had twice higher the possibility of getting this Alzheimer's disease. Worldly concerns not only destroy the soul but also destroy the spirit and bodily health. It is a scary poison. So, in the latter part of verse 10, it says, "But worldly sorrow brings death." If we look at a person that no longer has faith and is so tied up with worldly concerns, when faced with issues, we see that this kind of person tries to solve problems in secular ways and efforts, as a result, having a devastated life. In the Bible, Saul was like that. In the 1 Samuel, chapter 28, verses 7 to 8, Saul saw the Philistine troops and felt fearful. He went to see the fortune-telling woman and asked about his future. We can see that King's always anxious and he was concerned. Judas was like that. In Matthew, chapter 27, verse 5, it says, "So Judas threw the money into the temple and left. Then he went away and hanged himself." As he sold his master for 30 silver coins and as he began to have anxiety and worries, he did not come to God and felt uneasy. He threw the money at the temple and hanged himself. There are many root causes in having concerns. Whatever the reason is, the worldly concerns do not bring any benefit. These things cause our souls, hearts and bodies to collapse. So it has been said, that the worldly desires result in death. Where do the worldly concerns come from? It comes from an environment where there is no faith. If we look at the circumstances, we cannot get away from chains of concerns. I will share a story with you. This is a story about an eagle. In a countryside, a boy caught a baby eagle on a mountain. With a wire, he tied the legs of an eagle and fed it. He tried to breed this eagle in a front yard. The eagle tried its best to move its wings to fly. Whenever this eagle tried to fly, the legs which was tied with a wire bled. One day, the wire that tied up the legs of an eagle was untied. But the eagle did not fly and put the wings down. It just walked around the front yard to look for food on the ground. Why did it do so? "I cannot fly. I am tied up." It was because this eagle thought like this. The faith is like this, as well. When we do not look at the power of God, when we only focus on our conditions and circumstances, our thoughts are confined to a little box and we do not get to get away from having concerns. The faith is fixing our eyes on the power of God that is beyond our circumstances and soaring. Also, the worldly concerns come to us when we did not live a life in a correct way. Why did Adam and Eve hide? It was because they did not live a proper life in front of God. When we do not live a life in an honest way, we get tied up with the worldly concerns. Cain was like that. In Genesis, chapter 4, verse 14, in the latter part of this verse, it says like this, "I will be a restless wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me." Cain killed his own younger brother and felt anxious, insecure and fearful. Everyone seemed like his enemy and a blessed land seemed a land of curse to him. After you spent a day and before you go to bed, if you have concerns in your heart, think about the root cause of your concerns. And to restore the peace in your heart, you need a prayer that completely washes your soul and heart with the blood of the Lord. I bless you in the name of Jesus that you will get away from the chains of worldly concerns. There are beneficial concerns that the believers should have. Let us look at verse 10. It says, "Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret, but worldly sorrow brings death." It is sorrow that is godly and that is according to the will of God. It is a heart that thinks about what is pleasing to God and what God would want, longing to live a life according to the will of God. Even though they would lose some benefit, to choose something that is for the faith, standing on the side of God is godly sorrow. A heart that repents and regrets when wrongdoing has been done is godly sorrow. When a life has been lived in an incorrect way, feeling uneasy and being able to regret and repent is the faith. David was like that. In Psalms, chapter 51, it tells a story about David. David took away a wife from Uriah and heard criticism from Nathan. After he heard it, he did not say any excuse. Till the bed got wet, he repented in tears in front of God. All night, he prayed to God to give him a renewed spirit. This is godly sorrow and a concern that is beneficial. God blessed David that was like this. In Matthew, chapter 26, verse 76 as well, Peter denied about the Lord at the court of Pilate. But he regretted about it and wailed. These concerns became a blessing and he did not have any regret. This is godly sorrow and a beneficial concern. Also, a heart that is longing to live in an honest way is a holy concern. An honest person gets to have a blessed relationship with God. A person that lives an honest life always has a peaceful heart. An honest nation is a healthy nation. I heard that these days, the origin of mental illness caused by stress mainly comes from the guilt that tries to hide lies and anxiety. An honest person always can live a life with a peaceful heart. But untruthfulness is always worrisome. It is because you never know when the truth will be revealed. A novelist Mark Twain of the U.S. stated, "If you always say about the truth, then you do not have to remember about anything. You do not have to be stressed about having to remember about when and where you said something to someone. You do not have to worry about that. It is because the truth always tells about the same thing. But, if you talk about something that is not true, then you have to try to remember that at all times and you have to be stressed about it. It is because the contents are different. If you live a life in an honest way, amount of concerns would decrease. How should believers live a life? We need to pray to live a life in an honest way. Have a look at the result of having godly sorrow. Let us look at verses 10 to 11. Godly sorrow does not have any regret. Let us read verse 10. It says, "Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret, but worldly sorrow brings death. As it is sorrow that longs to live a life in a way that is in line with the will of God, the fruit is good." It has been said that it is sorrow that leads to the life that has nothing to regret about. It is because it is a heart that longs to love the Lord more in life. Ancestors of faith persevered till the end, even risking their lives because they were very thankful for the love of the cross. Paul also said that he always is thankful for the saving grace. He wanted to pay back to the Lord for the saving grace but did not know about how to pay back for it as it was too great. For example, say, if I could not pay back the debt of a few billion dollars so I was jailed, but someone turned up and paid for my debt and saved me from being jailed, would I ever be able to forget about this grace for life? The Lord died on the cross for our sins and saved us. This is a grace of redemption. Paul knew about the redemptive grace correctly, so he lived his whole life as a debtor that felt ought to pay back for the grace he received. Also, Paul had a heart that loved the church. The chapter 11, in the 2 Corinthians, is a chapter of his persecution. Paul was jailed countless times, was about to put to death several times and was beaten up by the Jews a lot. As per the 2 Corinthians, chapter 11, verse 24, it says like this. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus 1. Once the Jews bashed someone 40 lashes, they were not able to bash again. So they took away 1 lash from 40. So 39 lashes times by 5, they bashed him up that way. The lashes of the Jews had a steel hook at the end, so when it hit the skin, it torn away the skin. It was a scary torture. But, more than this kind of torture, Paul was more concerned about his inner honesty and about the church. In the 2 Corinthians, chapter 11, verses 28 to 29, it shows about the confession of Paul. It says, besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak, and I do not feel weak? Who is led into sin, and I do not inwardly burn? When I saw this word, I once wept for a very long time. We could see how much Paul loved the church. This is godly sorrow for the church. When the churches gather together, there should be togetherness. When they pray, people should do it together, and when they serve, people should be paying attention together. Godly sorrow brings reconciliation and restores all the relationships. Let us look at verse 11. It says, "See what this godly sorrow has produced in you, what earnestness, what eagerness to clear yourselves, what indignation, what alarm, what longing, what concern, what readiness to see justice done. At every point you have proved yourselves to be innocent in this matter." In verse 11, eight kinds of things were introduced. Here Paul said, "Have a look at how godly sorrow that is according to the will of God, allows us to fervently seek after God." Godly sorrow allows three kinds of relationships to be restored. This is true grace and a blessing. First of all, the relationship with God would come to a restoration. Secondly, relationships with people would come to a restoration. Thirdly, relationship with material things would come to a restoration. God created everything that the human beings needed in the Garden of Eden and told them to rule over and take control over these. Do not love the blessings, but become people that love God that gives us blessings. This is the correct view of blessings that is biblical, not faith for blessing. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, this is a time when we need the godly sorrow. Get rid of the worldly concerns and have godly sorrow that seeks after the will of God. The grace would be restored and would become a blessing. How could we live a life according to the faith? How could we please God? At times, for ourselves, neighbors, church and our nation, our home country, we need to experience shedding tears, fasting prayers, praying even all night, and we need to have godly sorrow. When we have this godly sorrow, on it, there is a blessing of God. I pray all these in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.